council could please step forward in the matter of CV versus Waterford Township Board of Education. And Justice Pierre Louis will be participating in this case and may do part of it remotely if she needs to leave a little bit early. May we have appearances, please?
Good afternoon. May it please the court. Leo Dubler III on behalf of the petitioner.
Good afternoon. Michael McCulsky, Walter Connor, Trevor, and Overly's.
Jeremy Feigenbaum on behalf of the Amicus Attorney General.
Alexander Shalom from the American Civil Liberties Union of New Jersey as a friend of the court.
Thank you, counsel. It's almost 1:30. It's time to begin. Mr. Dubler?
Thank you.
Good afternoon. This case is about an innocent 5-year-old girl who was starting her first year of school in Waterford Township, and she rode the bus to school. She was sexually abused on that bus for a period of 5 months. LAD is not an intent-based statute. The seminal case Lehman gave us that holding. Multiple Supreme Court cases have upheld that principle, including Cutler, Cower, Griffin, and Rios, to name a few. In this case, for the first time, the appellate division overruled Lehman and held LAD is an intent-based statute. In the first paragraph of the opinion, the court said there was no proven intention to discriminate against young women. Compare that to the holding of Lehman, where the court said it is at the effects of discrimination that LAD is aimed. Therefore, the perpetrator's intent is simply not an element of the cause of action. But the appellate division in this case said the subjective intent of the harasser controls, not the actions or the effect of those actions. The basis for that holding was twofold. One is the pedophile. The court held that since a pedophile acts by compulsion, he cannot be responsible for his acts under LAD, the pedophile defense. And two, over 30 years ago, the bus aide said he had molested a boy. The court held sexual abuse could not have been because of the victim's gender as a matter of law because of that, an equal opportunity harasser defense. Both of these positions are contrary to LAD, contrary to Lehman, contrary to 30 years of case law, contrary to the summary judgment standard, and at odds with the facts of this case. Why did Lehman and other courts hold this way over the last 30 years? Well, Andrews versus Philadelphia gives us one reason. Particularly in the discrimination area, it's often difficult to determine the motivations of an action, and any analysis is filled with pitfalls and ambiguities. Doe versus Belleville in the Seventh Circuit said, as long as the environment itself is hostile to the plaintiff because of her sex, why the harassment was perpetrated, sexual interest, misogyny, personal vendetta, misguided humor, boredom, is beside the point. In 2020, the U.S. Supreme Court in Bostock versus Clayton recognized often events have multiple but-for causes. When it comes to Title VII, the adoption of the traditional but-for causation standard means the defendant cannot avoid liability just by citing some other factor that contributed to the challenged employment decision. So long as the plaintiff's sex was one but-for cause of that decision, that's enough to trigger the law. The theme of these cases is, it's the actions that these courts are saying must be focused on, and that's what they want to stop. LAD's goal is to eradicate harassment discrimination. Goal LAD is not to get into the harasser's head and figure out the mysteries of their mind. Once there's sexual, sexist comments or sexual touching, the but-for element is satisfied. And at that point, courts have said the victims do not have to read the tea leaves in the harasser's head. In this case, putting aside all the other evidence, there was 5 months of sexual touching to her female-only anatomy. In Renee versus MGM, if a harasser touches a part of the body linked to sexuality, you know, it's inescapably linked to sex, to her sex. So in this case, it's not, even with that and all the other facts that I could go into later, the court held it's not established, Layman doesn't apply. Not only that, Layman got turned on its head and summary judgment was granted against the harassment victim. Goes against the summary judgment standard and Layman. That concludes my opening remarks.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. The equal opportunity defense, you know, is going to undermine the law against discrimination. All harasser needs to say is, in the past, they harassed a man. And that allows the harasser and the employer to escape liability. Not only that, if you allow this defense, think about the practical implications. You know, in this case, if you send me back and you say, you know what, summary judgment shouldn't, we're going to allow that equal opportunity defense, we're going to send you back, do some discovery, get ready for trial on that. I'm going to have to try to track down 30 years ago the boy that he claimed he harassed. I'm going to try to have to depose him. That's just one case. It opens up intrusive discovery. It opens up difficult discovery. And I can tell you, as a practicing attorney who handles these types of cases, they're not easy.
Take us through LW, which is the school setting, minors, closer to this than Lehman, the factors that Chief Justice Sally's opinion identified in LW, and why your case meets that standard.
Yeah, and I would say LW, the case was more directed at student-on-student
right.
bullying.
It was about bullying.
And so, you know, I would say it would be more of an LW situation if it were students taunting each other or insulting each other, and then it brings it under maybe like the unreported CH Burlington case.
But what's your position as to whether LW is relevant here?
Yeah, you know, it's relevant in that, generally speaking, because that's factually a little different, but the general principles were LAD applies to schools, and it LAD applies to the school bus. So schools have to protect students. LW gave us guidance when there was student-on-student harassment.
Yeah. Did you say LAD applies to schools, or did you say that applies to schools?
No, I'm saying the LW holding was that LAD applies to school. The
right.
Children get the protection of LAD when they're in school, when they're on the school bus. They're under the protection of LAD.
The appellate division focused on LW and the factors there.
Yeah.
So can you take us through those factors?
Mayor? In the school setting, the Layman standard requires a school district may be found liable under LAD for student-on-student sexual orientation harassment that creates a hostile environment when the school district knew or should have known of the harassment but failed to take reasonably calculated action to reasonably calculate to end the discovery.
Didn't we also hold in LW explicitly, quote, the Lehman standard should apply in the workplace and in the school setting. We find no need to impose a separate standard because the discrimination is in a school. I believe that's at page 405.
Yeah, that's my understanding, and that the specific guidance on how to apply it was in a student-on-student harassment case, which the court said is a separate than other parts. The principles of LAD still apply.
So was it not the principles? Oh, sorry.
No, go. Please go.
Protections.
Not just the protections, because the statute said all along that it applies in places of public accommodation. So presumably the court would have had to follow the plain language of the statute that said that it should apply. But it's the Lehman test specifically that we held applies by saying the Lehman standard should apply in the workplace and in the school setting. We find no need to impose a separate standard because the discrimination is in a school. So aren't you arguing that the Lehman standard, which specifically recognizes that sexual touching is per se because of sex, applies in a school setting under Lehman and LW?
Precisely.
If we were to agree with you on that, are you still seeking to amend your complaint to add an age discrimination claim?
No. It's one or the other, so I would say yes.
Sorry, can you say that one more time?
I would say yes, looking to amend the complaint.
Okay, so just then, specifically in terms of an age discrimination complaint, the issue that I saw with that is age discrimination is prohibited in the statute in specific places, in employment, by labor unions, and in credit and contracting, but it's actually not prohibited when it comes to housing or places of public accommodation. So how can you bring a claim for age discrimination in a place of public accommodation if the statute doesn't actually prohibit age discrimination in a place of public accommodation?
I would say it's Lehman applies and the standard applies, and I would say that it should apply, and to the degree that's not specifically enumerated, it should apply to children in school.
But Lehman, I'm sorry, I thought was about sexual harassment,
yes.
And you're talking about a totally separate claim for age discrimination.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So Lehman doesn't say anything about an age discrimination claim and whether or not the statute actually prohibits age discrimination in a place of public accommodation, correct?
Correct.
Other questions, anyway? Is there anything?
Yes. I would just say, with the facts of this case, you have not just the 5 months of touching, you have other girls that were targeted. So what this Busse did is he played the abracadabra game. He played it with the plaintiff. And the bus driver was asked, did he play the abracadabra game with girls? Yes, multiple other girls. Did he play it with any of the boys? No. There was testimony that this harasser harassed a boy 30 years ago. There was no testimony that he harassed any boy, no evidence he harassed any boy in the last 30 years. And then the other thing, on a summary judgment motion, we shouldn't be looking at just the defendant's deposition testimony. How do we know he's truthful? How do we know some of it's not made up? How do we know some of it's not exaggerated? How do we know it's true or not true? Again, that goes back, we're going to need discovery on that issue. So you open up a can of worms, you open up a Pandora's box when you start getting into those issues. And the only thing else I would add is in the public accommodation setting, I mean, the cases are clear that it does apply. And if anything, there's actions that might not violate LAD in the workplace setting that would violate it in the public accommodation setting.
You're saying Lehman does apply.
Yeah, Lehman does apply.
Yeah.
And if there's no more questions, that's all my time.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Feigenbaum.
May it please the court. I'd like to begin with just 3 points this afternoon and then answer the questions that have come up so far this morning and any other questions this court may have.
We had a lot of questions this morning.
This afternoon, yeah. I almost said this evening, but thankfully daylight savings time solves that problem.
You just vowed to answer about 700 questions.
Exactly. I'll answer, I think, two. So, first point, Lehman already holds that some actions are so inherently sexual or sexist as to automatically prove that they are on account of sex. Those actions include what Lehman termed sexual touchings. And while Lehman did not define the full contours of that phrase, it necessarily at least includes the touching of the genitals and breasts, which covers the conduct at issue here and is all this court would need to hold to resolve this case and its application of Lehman. Second, Lehman makes sense. When an individual is no longer able to access the workplace or a place of public accommodation without experiencing harms that are inherently intertwined with their sex, they experience discrimination on account of sex. So if a woman's boss repeatedly grabs her breasts, she experiences that harm as a woman. And that's true even if the same boss grabs one of her male coworker's testicles, and that male worker experiences a separate harm as a man. Both workers experience sex-based harms, not just as workers, but as a man and as a woman, and that falls squarely within the ambit of the LAD. The third point is that this approach will not have the impacts that defendants fear. Saying that a sexual touching was on account of sex does not mean that there is LAD liability. A plaintiff in an LAD case still must prove severe and pervasive harassment, and that plaintiff must show that the harassment produced a hostile environment for the reasonable person. That is why defendants' parade of horribles will not come to pass, not because someone who sexually harasses men and women somehow gets a free pass under the law. Now, I'd like to start with Justice Patterson's question about LW, and I'm going to parrot a bit of what Justice Wehner Apter said, and I'm going to add one additional line to it. The first is that LW does squarely hold that Lehman's framework, including the automatic part of Lehman's framework, applies to schools. And there are two reasons for that. The first is textual. There's no difference on this question between public accommodation and between place of work. So in both places, you have the same sex discrimination protections. And so what Lehman explains sex discrimination is would apply fully in the public accommodation context. And LW specifically held that students deserve no less protection from sex discrimination than individuals in the workplace. And to make that promise true, it applied Lehman to schools. So I think that's been squarely resolved. Justice Patterson, where LW announces those different factors was in the context of explaining how a student may experience harms differently. And so in the workplace, you ask what a reasonable female worker would experience as hostile. You ask what a reasonable male worker would experience as hostile. In the school context, you ask what a reasonable student would experience as hostile. But that doesn't say anything about what is sex discrimination and what counts as inherently on account of sex in the language of a place of public accommodation.
So what is your view of the appellate division's reliance on LW?
I think it's a mistake. I think the appellate division misunderstood what LW was saying. LW was making clear that as in any LAD case where you need to figure out who's liable for the conduct, and so LW lays out factors for when a school is going to be liable for harassment by peers and adds a special criteria to say a school will only be liable if it knew or should have known about that peer-on-peer harassment and when it failed to take steps to reasonably address it, that's about when you can hold the school accountable for what a peer did. None of that has anything to do with what is sex discrimination or the actual holding the appellate division reached below in rejecting these claims. To the degree there is any fight about whether the school can be held accountable for the action by this bus aide, that is a fight for remand that has nothing to do with the actual legal holding that was addressed by the appellate division. The only other comment I want to make about places of public accommodation is to note that the state does not believe there's a viable age discrimination claim here for the reason Justice Wehner Apter noted. We think that CV does have the sex discrimination claim. It should not have been barred by the appellate division's ruling, but age discrimination is not covered by places of public accommodation, which is why you see movie theaters giving senior discounts, which would otherwise not be something you could give in a workplace.
Questions, anyone? Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Shalom.
May it please the court, I won't repeat the points that have been made already by counsel, with which I agree. I'll add just one short point, which is this is a stare decisis case. There is no debate that Lehman set up a per se rule. Automatically is the language. And the appellate division rejected that by talking about how the Lehman presumption was overcome. There is no presumption. It is a per se rule. Those things are different, and for two reasons. First, because intermediate appellate courts cannot overrule the Supreme Court, and second, because even if this court thought that the reasons set forth by my colleagues were insufficient, the kind of justification for Lehman no longer held true, there would still be the stare decisis principles that would require special justification to overturn it. We ask the court to reverse the appellate division.
Thank you. Mr. Mikulski.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court. I'd be remiss if I didn't introduce Amelia Lally. My partner's done a lot of work on this case as well. We're not here defending the perpetrator's actions. Let's make that very, very clear. I know you already know that, but I feel the need to say it. It is our position that the question before this court can be answered in two parts. Number one, if the legislature intended any sexual contact, any molestation, any sexual assault to fall under the LAD, they would have said so plainly and unambiguously in the text of the LAD, as they have in other statutes and other laws that have been passed in New Jersey. Number two, as set forth in the appellate division's opinion, the very definition of discrimination does not apply to this very narrow fact pattern. One of the amicus counsel mentioned that our fears of what might happen would not come true. Well, likewise, the fears what the plaintiff is claiming, that people will be kept from court, will not be true. When the state of New Jersey changed the statute of limitations, hundreds, thousands of new sexual assault claims came in. There are lots of causes of actions for things like this. They just don't fall under the LAD in this very narrow, very specific fact pattern where the perpetrator was a pedophile who took advantage and molested boys and girls. The ruling by the trial court and the appellate division panel does not unduly restrict access to the courts, as I just said. In cases like this, nothing in those two opinions precludes plaintiffs, like they did here, from pursuing their negligence counts, negligence supervision counts, and others. In this matter, as I said, the perpetrator was a pedophile. Unfortunately for his victims, he was in fact a non-discriminatory pedophile. As part of his criminal sentencing, he admitted to abusing male and female children for many years. In his deposition, he admitted to assaulting 5 different children, both male and female. He testified that he did so because he could not help it. He said it was like a disease or something. He further said he couldn't control himself despite knowing it was wrong. The trial judge in her ruling said there was no evidence that the perpetrator molested this minor plaintiff because she was female, but rather it was a compulsion. The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 5th edition, also known as the DSM-5, identifies pedophilic disorder at code 302.2. It defines that disorder as a diagnosis assigned to persons 16 years old and up who have a sexual desire for prepubescent children. It doesn't mention gender or sex. The stated purpose of the LAD, as counsel said, is to prevent discrimination. It is not to prevent or attack pedophilia specifically. The Lehman Court famously did say that the LAD was to eradicate the cancer of discrimination. And as I stated early on, if the legislature intended it to be specific to every sexual abuse, they would have said so. By definition of the word discrimination, for the LAD to apply, there must have been a discriminatory act. So let me propose a scenario. As of right now, there has not been a boy on this school bus who has brought suit. I say as of right now because statute of limitations has not ended. If a boy were to file suit today, could that boy on the same bus make the same claim that he was discriminated against? Where's the discrimination if the boy was a boy was attacked on the same bus as a girl? We, again, are not saying there are not viable causes of action for plaintiffs in this factual situation. We're saying it's not discriminatory, so it's not the LAD.
So do you believe that the holding in Lehman was just wrong to say that sexual touching is per se sex discrimination?
I don't. And sex discrimination is different, I think, because of the but-for test that Lehman talks about, that the assault had to be but-for the sexual nature of the gender of the person that was touched. That's where I think Lehman is distinguished. And I think the appellate court pointed
that out. Can you explain it one more time?
Because, sure. Let me check my notes, if you don't mind. Because I did anticipate that question. So Lehman addresses the but-for enumeration, right? That but-for the gender, the attack, the molestation, the touching would not have occurred. The discrimination would not have occurred. Here, what the court found at the trial level and what the appellate division affirmed is that this particular perpetrator did not touch this particular person but for her gender.
But Lehman, I'm sorry, held not that in every case of sexual touching, we have to decide, was this but for the plaintiff's gender? Instead, they held as a categorical rule that the definition of sexual touching, when you touch another person's genitals, that is by nature because of sex. And therefore, it is automatically but for the person's sex.
Understood. And I think here again, and maybe as times have changed the court in Lehman maybe not having known nobody could know what was going to happen in advance, where you have a pedophile who distinguishes, I still think that is the but-for. So there may be other causes of action that would allow that touching to still be brought in court, but not the LAD.
I'm not sure I follow.
Yeah.
Can you explain that again?
Yes. Even though the sexual touching may result in, the touching was because of sex, right? If there was touching of genitals, it was due to the sex.
Automatically. That's what Lehman says.
Automatically. But as the appellate division said, and I have their opinion here, because I think they addressed it very well.
Tell us what page you're looking at when you get there.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
The discussion about Lehman, I think, starts at around 17.
Yeah, I'm on 16 now, Mr. Chief Justice, so that's right. So when the appellate division did speak about Lehman, it says on top of page 18, when the harassing contact is sexual or sexist in nature, the but-for element will automatically be satisfied, as you just said. And then it goes on to say the Lehman principles at the bottom of 18 have been extended to claims made by children. We're not agreeing there. But on page 19, in affirming the motion, judges...
You're not agreeing. You're agreeing with that.
Yes. Correct. So then if you go to the middle of page 19, in affirming the motion, judge's order, we rejected the judge's reasoning. We observed that sexual... Oh, that's not right. Hold on. Yes, we found that there was no reason to believe the legislature meant to carve out this type of exception in the context of workplace relationships between a minor and adult. So they were distinguishing, I think, that factual pattern. Or that factual scenario.
About a different case. I think the relationship between minor and adults is not this case. That this is a quote from a different appellate.
You're right. Agreed. Yes.
Assume for a minute that your argument is correct and the trial court is correct about the issue of boys and girls. And this was on a motion for summary judgment, correct?
It was.
And at least in this case, in this bus, over these months, although there were boys on the bus, the only molestations occurred with little girls. Is that right?
That we know of, yes.
The allegation.
That's correct. That we know of.
For summary judgment.
That's correct.
Those are some of the facts we have.
That's correct.
Other things may have happened in the past. Other things may have happened elsewhere. But that's all we know.
That's correct.
Doesn't that in and to itself overcome summary judgment on the basis that you're arguing?
It doesn't. And the reason for the same reason that, that the trial judge said in the appellate division agreed, which is in this particular instance, that person's actions, this perpetrator's actions.
Now you're talking about pedophilia.
I am.
I'm not talking about pedophilia.
Okay.
I'm talking about the argument that, well, he molested boys and girls, and therefore it's not based on the little girl's sex. And what I'm suggesting is, well, we don't know that because all we have is the evidence that he molested only girls on this bus over the course of 5 months. And that in to itself is enough to get over a motion for summary judgment. The pedophilia issue is an issue for expert testimony, of which I don't think there was any in this particular case.
We never got that far, correct?
And that would be during discovery. They would exchange if that's really an issue. And I'm suggesting it is. There'd be cross experts, and they would explain whatever they nor experts normally explain. But on that issue of sex, isn't there enough to overcome summary judgment just based on the facts of this case, what occurred on that bus over those 5 months?
I don't think there is, because I think that the trial judge had the right to consider all discovery that had come in at that point, which includes the pedophilia, but also includes his admissions to molesting boys and girls. If we're going to focus just on any one bus, if I may,
go ahead.
No. If we're just focus on one bus, right, the judges, and she said, in considering all of the facts to the light most favorable to the non-moving party, to the plaintiff, there was no evidence whatsoever that it was because of.
Okay, and yes. You're again relating it to what happened months before or years before or before.
Yes.
So
simply because, I'm sorry, I'll let you jump in. It, simply because over this period of time, with respect to these young children on this bus, he only molested little girls. That doesn't issue create at least a question of fact?
I don't believe it does, because I think the judge allowed to take all of the facts that she had available to her. Yes.
So how do you respond to the argument that this equal opportunity offender defense in any context would undermine the ruling, the but-for ruling from Lehman, that if there's sexual touching, that is... If there's sexual touching, then that's it. Because even in an employment context, so taking it out of this context, your main argument is that he touched, you know, he's a pedophile, he harassed boys in the past as well as girls. In an employment context, if an employer was engaging in sexual touching with both men and women, that's not a lad case? Is that your position? That's not a lad?
I frankly didn't go that far as to the employer in preparation, but...
But that's the logical extension of your argument, wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes and no. Yes, I can see how that would be thought to be the logical extension of my argument. But again, not every claim has to fall under the LAD, and there's other avenues out there.
But if someone brings a claim under the LAD alleging sex discrimination because of sexual touching that occurred in the workplace.
Yes. It would not apply.
Would a defendant be granted, under your theory, summary judgment?
Yes.
If they put forth evidence that this employer engaged in sexual touching with male and female employees, so this is not.
Yes, because of the very definition of discrimination. Yes.
And one last thing, your argument that, you know, he's a pedophile, and therefore he had a compulsion. Why is that relevant when intent is completely irrelevant? The only issue is, was there a sexual touching?
Well, because I think in this, because of the way the LAD is worded, the plain language that says it has to have been discrimination based upon sex, and because of that mental illness.
That's not what Lehman says.
Forget
whether it's a child, an adult, a man, a woman. None of the cases suggest that intent matters at all. Compulsion matters at all.
Well, I would.
Whether it's an adult sex offender.
I would disagree a little bit, because the JW cases that we talked about earlier, that was very specifically about one individual's sexual orientation. So it was more narrow than this is more of a molestation of children. That's what the compulsion is. It's not based on the sex. So the application of Lehman, we disagree with as it's interpreted there, yes.
This is not a trick question. I'm looking at the opinion and wondering if the language you were looking to focus on was on page 22. That beginning of the first full paragraph, here the record contained no evidence that the assailant acted because of the child's gender.
And it is highlighted on my section. So, yes, that's essentially what I was trying to get to earlier, and I understand.
Isn't that a direct contradiction of the holding in Lehman, though?
It's a contradiction to the fact of the portion of Lehman that is specific to touching is automatically sexual. Yes, that part of it is.
Indeed. So how...
Because I still think that the totality of evaluating the LAD in its plain language, in addition to the fact that here you have somebody who has molested people clearly not based upon their sex, changes that.
So if this case involved simply an allegation and some evidence at the pretrial stage of sexual touching of a girl, it would get to a jury?
Only and no other evidence, yes, as to the offender on the LAD, probably if based on that limited fact scenario that I understand it, but
so explain
so why, much more comes into that.
Explain then why, yes, there are other factors, of course.
Sure.
But explain then why it would make sense that more egregious conduct, sexual touching of not just a girl, but another human being, a boy, should result in the case never appearing in front of the jury.
Well, that's not what would happen, respectfully, Mr. Chief Justice, because there's plenty of other avenues, including ones that were pleaded here, that get to a jury.
I'm sorry, on this count?
Yes, on the LAD, because if we say everything falls under the LAD, then why have the CSAA? Why have any other statute? We can just group everything into the LAD.
Leave the other statutes to one side for a moment.
Okay.
Your position is that more egregious conduct, more egregious allegations would shield that person from the LAD.
I mean, that may end up being the result, but no, what we're saying is the LAD as written wouldn't apply. Plenty of other avenues to get to court, but the LAD would not apply in this very narrow factual scenario. That's correct.
You also
the
agree
court
that.
Decided Lehman in 1993, correct?
I believe so.
And the legislature has never chosen to amend the statute in any form since then to say, we disagree with the court's holding in Lehman, sexual touching is not automatically discrimination based on sex, correct?
As far as I know, that's correct, yes. Yes.
LAD doesn't preclude other causes of action, does it?
No.
And are you aware of any other cause of action that preclude LAD?
No.
Please go ahead.
Unless you have other questions, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. There was no request for rebuttal. Mr. Duber, we're good to go, I take it. Did you want to offer a brief rebuttal?
If I could, Your Honor, just extremely briefly.
You know, I would just say, in addition to the other facts that we had, I mean, with the same bus, with the same school, there was an arbitration held that found that there was an abuse. And again, that was of a girl. So the fact isn't just that it was what the harasser did in this case. It went on for 5 months. So it's just not a summary judgment case. That's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Thank you. Thank you, counsel. We'll take the matter under advisement.